Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. I am your contractor. It is Memphis at DWZ Memphis. And tonight's show, we got our buddy Ryan. Ryan's in town to break down a roster with us. Great guy. Met him through Twitter. Just slid my DMs. Was like, hey, man, what's going on? Would love to get on the show. And boom, here we go. So as it relates to the contractor, as I am recording this, I believe we are down to two total spots between now and week one of the regular season. I cannot believe it's filled up. Had a guest for a future show reach out this week. He's like, hey, man, are we still doing the thing? And I'm like, hey, man, scroll up in this feed and realize that I told you 6 weeks ago it was going to be 6-7 weeks. And we're going to get that one in this week. And I'm really, really excited to continue to do this. So my plan for the contractor as it relates to this show, I'm going to keep it going. I like podcasting. I like doing all of my podcasts at the Dynasty Warzone. I like doing the contractor. And this one right here has got a special place in my heart because I like helping people. I like talking about rosters. I like talking trades. I like talking rookie picks. I like talking deals. I like making things better. So we're going to work on rosters all the way up until the start of the regular season. When the regular season is over, we will stop bringing on new guests during the regular season. We'll pick it up somewhere along the way during the NFL playoffs. And on the contractor, we will bring everybody back as long as everybody's willing to come back. And we'll hunt everybody back down and we'll see what they've done with their roster since we last talked to them. That's always been my favorite thing because the whole genesis of the contractor is basically just a dynasty version of what you see on HGTV basically every day, where people hire contractors or look at new homes and, you know, then they give you the flash forward, you know, 8 months, a year, 2 years, whatever it is, and they show you how the house looks now, what improvements they made, and if they're still living there and all that stuff. And we're just going to, you know, steal some of that concept. We're going to bring folks back. We're going to find out what's going on with these rosters that we've talked about. And I think that'll be a great way to have some shorter but fun conversations as the football season wears on, because there's going to be a lot of content out there, especially at my main show, the Dynasty Warzone. We're turning it into a full service network of podcasts and video content. We're going to be all about it, and it's going to be everything that you're seeing in a lot of spots on Twitter, whether it be the combo places that are selling you $200 a year memberships. And hey, man, nothing against those folks. If they can get that money, get it. We will keep the majority of the content on the Warzone network free. How will we keep it free? Well, we'll keep it free by having sponsors, by having subscribers, and having statistics. So sponsors, they kind of work backwards. So we got to have stats, man. We got to have downloads. We got to have subscribers. We have to be able to go to advertisers and say, hey, here's what we bring to the table from a subscriber standpoint, from a statistic standpoint. Here are some purchase habits of, you know, the way our listeners have supported our sponsors in the past. So, but if you don't subscribe, if you don't sponsor, There's no way to help us. And all that's mostly free. What are we adding? We're going to add a Devi show with a unique twist. We're going to have four hosts, and the Devi show will drop once a month, but it won't be a Devi show. You're like, ah, man, I can't get into college football. It's not really what this show is going to be about. The purpose of the Devi show at the Dynasty Warzone is going to be to serve as a bridge between the true Devi hardcore degenerates and what we do with Dynasty. It's going to give you a little inside look at the players that are going to be draft eligible in 2021, get you familiar with some names, and a lot of these guys have side Devi podcasts and Devi publications and writing. And if you just follow along with this Devi show, you'll be able to be led down any rabbit hole you want to go down as it relates to the college game and the Devi game. And that will be hosted by my co-host Jerry. It'll have Shane Hallam from Fake Pigskins and Steel City Insider. Josh Dissinger and Kane Fassell will be the hosts of that particular show. And then on Fridays in season, we're going to have a gambling show. That will be the new staff doctor of the Warzone, Dr. Kyle Bowser. He is a doctor of physical therapy. He'll be there to give us firsthand breakdowns of player injuries, what to expect on a given week with injured players. Sal Lito, if you're not familiar with Sal, Sal was the gentleman who hosted the Scott Fishbowl Potathon along with Kevin Cotillo and Steve. I don't remember Steve's last name. Sorry, Steve. As well as myself and a mystery fourth co-host. On that show, we'll be covering player betting props, DFS, actual side and total betting in the NFL. And it's designed to be a benefit to people who like action on the games, benefit to DFS players, and can be used as like a general roster setting purpose. We hope to entertain. And both of these will be designed to keep things like the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor and the Dynasty Warzone 100% Dynasty focused, and take some of these other topics and things into their own genre. The YouTube, I've been having the Dynasty Warzone, the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. We've been streaming live. I can tell you there's at least one live stream every Tuesday right now around 9:15. And soon there'll be one in season every Wednesday around 9:30. The Devi show will be to be determined, but I'll make sure I get that information out. Again, tonight's guest is Ryan. And then the last thing I got for you guys is the Patreon over the Dynasty Warzone. Patreon.com/Dynasty Warzone. We're right now in the middle of wrapping up Patreon League number 5. And we are in the middle of the Patreon Devi League. So what is the Patreon? The best way I can describe it, man, is like it's a virtual room of like-minded people. And we're talking Dynasty, we're talking trades, we're talking roster construction, and we're also talking shit. We talk a lot of shit to one another in the happy hour. It's like being like in your favorite watering hole without the risk of getting too drunk and coronavirus. We do it virtually in a group chat, and we're all there to help each other, make fun of each other, laugh with each other, and make each other better. And we're really excited to go into our first full season with the Patreon. If you're interested, just go to patreon.com/Dynasty Warzone. Check it out. On top of the group chat and the chance to get in leagues with great people, you also get an extra bonus podcast behind the wall every single week, as well as one-on-ones with both myself and Jerry for roster construction. Hey, make sure you leave this show and the Dynasty Warzone show 5-star reviews and subscribe everywhere. Again, you can find me on Twitter at DWZMemphis. And if you're interested, you can find me on Instagram at Memphis185. People often ask, what does the 185 mean? So many moons ago, a different life ago at this point, I used to fight MMA, and my weight class was 185. That's middleweight in the UFC today. So you can follow me on Instagram at Memphis185, and you can find me on Twitter, again, at DWZ Memphis. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I hope you enjoy the show with Ryan today. And, of course, we'll be back here next week with another edition of the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again real soon. Take care now. Are you looking for a reminder of your fantasy football greatness? Are you looking for something to set your league apart from those dime a dozen jabroni leagues out there? then head over to trophysmack.com and hook your league up with the best trophies in the game today. And not only will you get the best trophies in the game today, you can get a free championship ring up to a $59.99 value by entering in the promo code DWZRING. You pick out your trophy, which one do you like? You put it in the cart, you add the ring to the cart, you add the promo code DWZRING, makes the ring free, and your league is now a step above the league down the street. So if you're looking for the best, you want to be the best in the game, you want to have the best league in town, go over to trophysmack.com, get that trophy, get that ring, use that code DWZRING, and let's have a big season. All right, joining me all the way from parts unknown, we're going to call this man Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. How are you?
I'm good, Memphis. Thanks for having me, man.
No, man, thank you for sharing your team, and thank you for making the schedule work. We were trying to get this in last week, but life, man, life can get in the way of anything, and I just appreciate you jumping on. So we're going to talk to you about your 10-man half-point PPR 1 QB league. Now, how long have you been battling the forces of evil here in Dynasty Fantasy Football?
This will be my third year playing fantasy football, but this specific league, it'll be year two. We did our startup last year and just finished our rookie draft for this year.
Okay, and it's a 10-man, but it's 1 QB.
Correct.
Okay, and now what would you say the level of competition is? Is this a bunch of newer owners? Are there some savvy veterans? How'd you get roped into this?
This one I actually found through the footballers chat, and I found them through the discussions page and joined that league. And I'd say it's a pretty good mix of pretty moderate owners and some pretty savvy owners. So it's a pretty good mix of people.
Okay. Now, when you say footballers, I'm assuming you mean the fantasy footballers.
I do. Yes, the fantasy footballers. They got me into Dynasty Fantasy Football about 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. We had the good fortune on the Dynasty Warzone show about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. We had Jason jump on with us from the footballers. Super nice guy. Could not have been more generous with his time. Have not had the good fortune of speaking with Mike or Andy, but maybe one day in the future we can touch base on those guys. So let me ask you this before we get too deep in the league. With this being a group that was formed by similar mindsets, fans, if you will, of the footballers, would you say that when they tend to give advice on the show that the listeners of this tend to follow it pretty closely?
For sure. I find myself having to go to other podcasts or other people for advice because everyone seems to follow that fantasy footballer's mindset.
Okay, so my goal is, so when I listen to those guys, everybody in this industry has got a talent, and theirs is certainly creating a very enjoyable podcast. But, you know, I've been wrong. As we record this on Sunday, the New England Patriots just signed Cam Newton, and I would have thought never in a million years would Cam Newton have signed with anyone, especially the New England Patriots, this early. I thought it would have required an injury to a starter somewhere along the way. Now, the money's not super impressive. He has to hit a bunch of thresholds to make $7.5 million. But, you know, none of us are always right, including the fantasy footballer. So I think that's good. You know, you've got to lead those guys into those guys' opinions. And credit to them, man, for all of us small fish that do Dynasty content. When Andy, Mike, and Jason reference Dynasty as much as they have, that's good for us. That's going to get that year-round crossover stream. And that's good business for everybody. So I certainly am glad that they're in the space. But yeah, that would be something I would be looking to take a part of. So I know Jason, for the longest time, was a Kerryon Johnson fan. What's his value like in this league? I don't listen as much as I used to. I record my own podcast too much, and I listen to some other fantasy football podcasts. What's the current flavor of the week, if you will, over in the Arizona area?
His value is way too high. Kerryon Johnson's value is through the roof right now in this league. I thought it was interesting because I put out, right before we started this, I said I was taking offers for OBJ. And I wanted to see just what a couple people would offer me. So a couple of people actually offered me some like really not good value. And I thought it was interesting because if I remember correctly, the Ballers talked about it on their podcast either on Wednesday or on Friday. And they talked about how OBJ's value was interesting. So it's something that I'm kind of taking, they all saw that and they thought it was interesting. So it's down right now. And I don't know how to take that.
Well, for me personally, I have been off of the OBJ train for a while now. Part of it's not his fault. Some of it's been bad luck. And sometimes in life, you just get unlucky. And his injury luck since about 2017 has been bad. To his credit, he played the entire 2019 season with a core muscle injury, for lack of a better term for it. You know, he still did okay. But my fear is that this is going to be a very low-volume offense. I truly do. And, you know, Stefanski should know that the Browns defense gave up zero 300-yard passers last year. Good front four. I mean, I really like what they've done with this defense through the draft the last few years. And Stefanski's going to run the ball. I mean, you don't bring in Bill Callahan to be your offensive line coach. And, you know, just I've seen too much. I guess that's the best way to put it. I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but that makes me nervous, but you can't give him away because you do fancy yourself a contender, and with your wide receivers we're going to get into here in just a minute, he is someone I would be looking to move, but I would rather win with him than give him away to someone else.
That's exactly my mindset on it too.
Especially in a 10-team, excuse me. So let's just jump right into this, man. A couple more questions. Why are you looking for the help of the old contractor?
With this roster, I really don't know if I am a piece away or if it's time to blow it up, because we'll go through it soon, but I have some older backs. I have some younger pieces, and I have a lot of wide receivers who are kind of right in that middle stretch. So I really don't know if I'm a piece away or if I'm ready to compete. So I'm just looking for a second opinion on that.
Okay, and there is a group chat. We talked about that before hitting the record button, that it was in the sleeper chat via the Sleeper app, which continues to get better, by the way. For the folks at Sleeper who listen, I just want to say kudos to you guys. You have taken the, we'll call it constructive criticism of people like myself about your trade feature, and you've made it infinitely better. And the group chat on Twitter's okay. I like Twitter group chats. I always have. Our Patreon over at Dynasty Warzone Patreon is a group me. I would like to get everything streamlined in one place, but as long as they're chatting, and you said that the activity in this chat is moderate?
Yeah, it's pretty moderate. Kicks up around the rookie draft, but as expected.
Yeah, I've ran into a lot of this lately when talking to owners here on the contractor. It's like it's been very active during free agency because, you know, players are going to new teams and there's some excitement and there's some buzz. Then it dies down. Then you have your rookie draft. Then it dies down, especially right now. You'll start to get a little bit of a busy cycle, if you will, the end of July, 1st of August, when camp breaks out. I think this year is going to be particularly interesting with COVID and what that does to preseason games, which I actually think that's a good thing. A lot of guys tend to get injured in a lot of meaningless preseason games, so that does not break my heart at all. And then I ask you for your opinion of what shape do you think your roster's in going into 2020.
Yeah, like I said, I'm honestly not sure if I am one piece away or if it's time to just blow it up. Because like I said, I got those older backs and I got those wide receivers who are in the middle. But I have pieces like Jonathan Taylor and Jalen Reagor who are young up and coming. So I'm really not sure.
Well, I definitely, if I was going to, you know, compare this, that's kind of the analogy with the contractors. We, you know, compare it to renovating a home. And if this was a home, I would say you've definitely got good bones and you have modern features. That would be your rookies. Let's just go into your quarterbacks. You only have two. And I'll be honest, in most of my one quarterback leagues, I only carry two. In one of my one QB leagues today, someone instantly snapped up Cam Newton because it was a one QB league. He was right there. I think we have a 27 player roster. So it did not surprise me. But you've got one of my personal favorites. He's easily top seven-ish for me, Russell Wilson. And behind him is a guy that I think is vastly underrated. I think he just needs to get his confidence back. We'll get into him in a second. But what about Russ? Are you content there? I think I would be. I like Russ. Like I said, he's number 6-7. Depends on the day. But how do you feel about him?
I'm really happy with Russ. I got him super late in the startup last year. I think I wound up getting him as the QB I want to say 11, 12, or 13. So I got a really good value on Russ, and I'm really happy with that. And as for Derek Carr, I mean, I agree. I think he's underrated. I think for this year especially, he's going to be fine. He's got new weapons like Henry Ruggs. He's got Josh Jacobs, who we love. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a solid QB2 for me to fill in when Russ misses that one game that he happens to miss every 3 or 4 years and his bye week. So I'm fine with having Derek Carr as my backup.
Yeah, say Derek Carr only had 4,000 yards passing and a 70% completion rate last year without Antonio Brown, who was his wide receiver one. And then the guy who was filling in as his wide receiver one, Tyrell Williams, he missed games due to foot injury. And then now you're going to add Henry Ruggs, you're going to add Bryan Edwards. Hopefully Hunter Renfrow can stay healthy the entire season. Darren Waller broke out, you mentioned. Josh Jacobs should be more involved in the passing game. And then Jalen Richard, I call him Jay Richard. He's a solid pass catcher too. And I think there's no reason why if Derek Carr, if he had had, I think he had 21 touchdowns last year. If he'd had 27, we would be looking at Derek Carr in a completely different light. So I think you're really good there. Your tight end room though, man, it's like, how old of a tight end can I have? And then I'm going to add an older one. You've got Gronk. You've got Jack Doyle. You've got Delanie Walker. You've got Jimmy Graham, who continues to steal money. I've said this on many podcasts. Jimmy Graham, no one's stealing more money from the NFL than Jimmy Graham. And then you have a guy that I do think is going to be the bridge to your future. He would be one of your good bones of this rebuild and a modern piece, and that's TJ Hockenson. Now, did you draft Gronk? Did you pick him up off the waiver wire? How did you acquire Gronk?
So I scooped Gronk right after he retired, and I think that wound up being right after our startup draft. So I scooped Gronk right after that for free. I think everyone except TJ Hockenson I've scooped for free. Doyle, Walker, Sprinkle, and Graham I've all scooped for free. Hockenson I wound up drafting super late. If I remember correctly, he was the tight end 15 or 16 when I drafted him last year, and I'm really happy with that value. And I think I'll be fine if I push Gronk for this year, and then I'll be able to use Hockenson as kind of that bridge to my future. But yeah, I'm good with Gronk as an old player.
Yeah, and I think you're kind of looking past Jack Doyle. Phillip Rivers, who's now quarterbacking in Indy, has got a history, if you will, of using the tight end position as a weapon in the offense. And although Jack Doyle is never going to be confused with the likes of George Kittle or Travis Kelce, he is a very solid veteran. We'll just use that. So whether it's Gronk, whether it's Doyle, you'll have a couple of guys that you can watch and bridge to a TJ Hockenson, because you really do, you know, we're going to get into my overall review of this team in a minute, but I don't know that Hockenson's going to be the guy you throw in there week one. I think that'll be Gronk or Doyle, depending on the matchup. And then, you know, after a couple of weeks, you may throw Hockenson in there if he's doing with himself what we think he can do. But the bottom line is that you're solid. No real need to make any crazy trades or deals there, unless someone wants to give you something crazy for Gronk, or if Gronk gets hot somewhere along the way, and so does Hockenson, and someone's willing to give you something for Gronk, because Gronk could be a one, maximum 2 year play. I think he's probably there as long as Brady is, and Brady's got a 2 year pretty much ironclad deal. All $50 million of his dollars are guaranteed. So Gronk's on a 1 year deal, but you know, and I know that if they want Gronk back in 2021, he'll be back. Let's get into what I consider to be the real strength of this team, although you've got some very interesting names here. Let's go across your wide receiver room. You got a personal favorite in Tyreek Hill. You've got A.J. Green. You've got Allen Robinson. You've already mentioned Odell Beckham. Trent Taylor, Ted Ginn Jr., the slowly picking up steam across the Dynasty and Fantasy Universe, Jamison Crowder, Jalen Reagor, John Smokey Brown, Philip Dorsett II, and Laquon Treadwell, now on the Atlanta Falcons. Tell me about your wide receiver room. How you feeling?
I feel like I have a really good top 4 to 4.5, whatever you want to count Reagor as this year. I love Tyreek Hill. I love A-Rob. I think OBJ is good, but we'll talk about him in a couple minutes, I'm sure, because he's going to be someone that I would like to move. Crowder, as a Jets fan, I love having Crowder. He's just going to gobble up targets this year. it's going to make me want to move one of my running backs, though, that I'm sure we'll get to in a couple minutes, Lev Bell, because I do believe Crowder has 2 to 3 years left on the Jets, and I do think that Bell is gone after this year. So it'll be interesting to examine that when we get to backs. But as terms for the rest of my depth, I like John Smokey Brown as kind of a wide receiver 5 or 6 on my team. He's fine for depth. And I love the upside of Jalen Reagor. He's one of my favorite players coming out of this rookie draft. I'm really excited to see him play, especially on my team.
Okay, well, first thing we're going to get into, we'll just go ahead and go into Reagor. So he was someone that I've been buying a lot, and he's going to be a guy that's probably going to disappoint us as Jalen Reagor fans early in 2020. The head coach, Doug Peterson, has said that for right now, he's just learning. I think it's the Z, whatever position it is that DeSean Jackson plays, and he's not going to be lined up all over the field. So sometimes that's coach speak, but sometimes it can be the truth, or sometimes it's usually a mixture of both. So for me personally, Jalen Reagor is a guy that I'll be looking to buy around midseason when an owner that had particularly high hopes early in the season for him just to break out all over the place, that, you know, maybe he's disappointing around Thanksgiving. And I can swoop in there with a veteran. Maybe the Reagor owner is a contender. And I can, and ironically, you have both of these guys, but you could, you know, jump in there with an A.J. Green and try to give A.J. Green, maybe he's playing well and looks like A.J. Green of old, and you can give A.J. Green straight up for Reagor. Or Reagor starts off a little bit slow, and you could move Odell Beckham Jr. for Reagor and like maybe a 2021 first or some kind of equivalent. That's what I would be looking to do. I mean, as far as your starters, though, I think you're in really good shape. I think most weeks you're going to start Tyreek Hill. He's easily a top 5 wide receiver for a dynasty startup. 25 years old, new contract, going to be firmly attached to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and this high-powered Chiefs offense for the next few years. So you can't hate that. The next guy, Allen Robinson, man. If this guy plays, I think the stat was more than 15 games, he gets 151 targets. Now, his breakout year, then he had the ACL, then he came back and played. I think he played almost 8 games that next year. Then last year he had 151 targets, finished as a wide receiver 1. He's a guy that I love. Anytime that you can get wide receiver 1, running back 1, quarterback 1, whatever, anytime that you can get wide receiver 1 value or production for wide receiver 2 prices, you're doing something. And he makes him an absolute buy for me. I've joked before, you know, we talked about Odell Beckham. Baker Mayfield has never finished as a QB1. I think he finished as 16-20 his first 2 years in the league. And now he's got, you know, Stefanski is his head coach and currently offensive play caller. And Stefanski last year took Kirk Cousins to a career low as a QB. He finished as QB 15, the worst of Kirk Cousins' fantasy seasons since he's been a starter. And yet people are still paying QB 1 value for Baker. That's doing it backwards. You're getting QB 2 production at QB 1 prices. Whereas A-Rob's the opposite. Odell Beckham Jr., man, I think you just got to let him play and hope he gets off to a decent start so that you can flip him. Or if a superstar, we never want to see this, but if a superstar were to catch an injury early in the season, maybe you can flip him then. And then I will wrap this up with just Crowder. Crowder's going to be, you know, PPR gold. Just a solid guy. I mean, who else is Darnold going to lean on? Maybe it's Mims, but that's a rookie in a COVID-19 season. Maybe it's Perriman, but he's a free agent in a COVID-19 season. How much time could these guys have actually worked out together? There's Ryan Griffin. We all think Chris Herndon may be something at some point. But, man, you got to feel overall pretty good about this wide receiver room. I think that's a group that you can compete with. Do you have any major concerns?
Honestly, no. I think that I agree with OBJ in that I want to wait for him to maybe have a really good week 1, 2, or 3, and then from there I'll be able to sell him just the upside and the name value. But in terms of Tyreek Hill, I got Tyreek Hill in the startup in the midst of his domestic violence thing. So I got him, I think, in the 14th round of our startup. So he was an absolute steal. Really happy about that. AJ Green, I really like him as I'm either going to ride him out for 1 or 2 years, or if I don't start off that well, I'm going to sell him. I really do like my wide receiver room, but it's my running back room that I just don't know what to do with right now. So I am excited to talk about that right now.
All right. Well, one thing I'm going to give you before we jump into the running back room. I don't mind Trent Taylor, but guys like Ted Ginn, guys like Philip Dorsett II, guys like Laquon Treadwell, maybe you hang on to Treadwell, but we need to look at a couple of guys. There's Quez Watkins, who is on the Eagles. Excuse me. There is Isaiah Coulter, who's on the Houston Texans. The Bills signed a guy whose name escapes me. There's Jeff Thomas on the Patriots. Dorsett, Ginn, Taylor, okay, because of the whole Debo injury. But those two, man, Dorsett and Ginn, they're like way past their prime. I think they're both 30-plus. Just get rid of them. Just cut them. They have no value. Treadwell, if you want to give Treadwell the what I like to call now at this point in his career, the Devontae Parker year, and maybe he can break out in year five, God bless. Maybe he can. But the other two guys, man, get some of those young long-shot rookies. Think about this time last year. There was starting to be this undercurrent for a rookie in Miami. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Preston Williams. And now Preston Williams has some value. But even if Dorsett has a good game or two, I mean, do you see his dynasty value ever going up? So
not really. I was holding on to Ginn just in hopes that that third wide receiver in Chicago would do something. In hopes Mitch has that uptick, but I really don't think it's coming. Like I said before, though, our rookie draft just ran, so our waivers are going to run tonight. I've already got bids in on Lynn Bowden, Tyler Johnson, Joe Reed, Isaiah Hodge, Albert O from Denver, KJ Hill, Darnell Moody, Allen Hurns. I got bids in on plenty of guys. So I'm probably going to wind up dumping at least one or two more. Trent Taylor, I think I want to wait a week or two into the season just to see what happens with Debo. But in terms of Dorsett, Dorsett was probably going to leave my roster after this conversation tonight. I saw that one coming. And then Ginn, I don't know on Ginn. Ginn's someone I think that could have something in Chicago, but I could also see him fizzling out before week one. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Ginn. What do you think?
Well, if Ted Ginn was anything but like 35 years old, maybe. You know, maybe. And if this was a best ball roster, if this was a best ball league, I could easily see keeping both Dorsett and Ginn. But if I told you a year from now that both of these guys are out of the league, would you be shocked?
Not at all.
I mean, exactly. And same thing with these young guys. I mean, they could very well be one-year flashes in the pan and gone. But if I'm going to gamble, I'm going to gamble on a guy just entering the league as opposed to, I think Dorsett came in the league in 2013. And I know Ginn's been in the league since, man, I think it's like a 13, 14-year vet. So if this was a best ball due to the speed that both of those guys have and the fact that Dorsett got a QB, well, I don't know, upgrade over Tom Brady, but you get my point. Russell Wilson throws a great deep ball, as you know. I could see hanging on to these guys. But, yeah, I would go ahead and cut bait. I don't mind hanging on to Smokey Brown. I think he's still 29, 30. You know, he was at one time last year, he was like a top 15 wide receiver. So his production will always mean more to your roster than his actual quote unquote dynasty value. But yeah, I wouldn't get rid of him, but let's not keep you waiting or in suspense any longer. Let's talk running backs, man.
Yeah. I mean, these running backs, I had no idea with these guys.
it's an interesting mix of dudes. So Lev Bell. We're going to get to him last. David Johnson, we'll get to him. Sony Michel, Jonathan Taylor, James White, Jerick McKinnon, LeSean McCoy, Deion Lewis, and Jamal Williams. So let's just start from the bottom and work our way up. Jamal Williams is going to be worth more to the Green Bay Packers than he is to this roster. They brought in A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones is still there. Now, I would not drop Jamal Williams because Aaron Jones is a free agent to be. And they just drafted A.J. Dillon. But Jamal Williams, for whatever reason, has the trust of Aaron Rodgers and head coach Matt LaFleur. So even if he has to sit on the back of my roster, that's fine. He's the kind of guy who's always going to be an injury away from being an injury away. Deion Lewis, I used to love Deion Lewis, man. I don't know what happened to Deion Lewis. And then same with LeSean McCoy. I think this just goes to prove that Father Time is undefeated. And eventually, all good things come to an end. This next guy is really intriguing. Jerick McKinnon. Now, do you know which team led the league in rushing last year? You should. It was pretty obvious.
It was definitely the 49ers.
No, it was definitely the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens, yes. Niners were two. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the Niners were two. The Niners rushed for 2,300 yards of rushing yardage last year on almost 500 carries. Mm-hmm. Now, I tend to be a Raheem Mostert believer, but, man, that doesn't mean that Jerick McKinnon can't flash. So for no reason would I cut him. You know, running back depth in this COVID season, it's not hard to think about with running back already being a collision position and a high injury risk position. Now we're going to add on top of that position a pandemic. So he would be a guy I'd be looking to flip if you got the chance. James White, I don't know. I would have to go back and look at some targets to the running backs with Cam Newton. I know that it wasn't good before Christian McCaffrey, but I know Christian McCaffrey was an RB1 in 2018 with Cam Newton. So I can't say pros or cons. I think James White's always going to be involved because he's reliable. Jonathan Taylor is just that's your piece to build around. If you're building around anything on this roster, it's Russell Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, Tyreek and A-Rob, and Hockenson. There's the bones, as they say in the house flipping, house building industry. You have good bones. Those are your good bones. And then Sony, David Johnson, and Lev Bell. Where do you want me to start, man? Because I have some interesting news for you.
Let's get the Lev Bell negativity out of the way for the Jets fan, please.
All right. Well, Lev Bell is working for Lev Bell at this point. The only reason the Jets cannot cut him is because it actually would cost them more money to cut him than it would to keep him. If they cut him, it would hit the cap at $16 million. If they keep him, it's $14 million. Now, next year, that reverses. Next year, they can cut him. Again, they would owe him $14 million, and I believe the dead cap number is $2 million. And whether Adam Gase is there or not, I would presume that GM Joe Douglas will be. And no matter what, Lev Bell is not going to be on this roster. So, and then I also have concerns that with COVID, the revenue coming into the NFL is going to be down, which is going to impact the salary cap. And if, I mean, the Jets will have the cap room because they've got their rookie on a cheap deal, but I would not be stunned. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and say it's set in stone, but I would not be stunned if Lev Bell was out of the league at this time next year. If he were not in the same shoes as Devonta Freeman without the offers that Devonta Freeman has. He's kind of got a weird reputation in the league. You know, smoking weed's no longer an issue in the league, but he had a couple of drug, you know, incidents. He got catfished or whatever by those girls that stole his jewelry. He held out for an entire season. He's just an interesting dude. So if at any time during the season you think you are not a contender or you can get fair value from him, he's got to go. Does that information surprise you or break your heart?
Not at all. You forgot to mention his rap career, though, which I think is very interesting.
I forgot that he is a rapper, and Adam Gase does not strike me as a rap music connoisseur, but I think it has nothing to do with his side hustle, if you will. I think it has to do with the amount of money they're paying him versus, you know, like last year he was injured, but then he went bowling with his family, and he's just, like I said, he's an interesting dude. Let's talk David Johnson. How are you feeling about DJ?
Real quick, before DJ, do you think that the Jets run Bell into the ground the same way that I see the Falcons running Gurley into the ground for this year, knowing that they only have him for 1 year under contract?
You know, it's fair. And much like other guys like Gurley, James Conner.
David Johnson's the same way, too.
Yeah, James Conner, Marlon Mack. There's, if you just Google search, if you don't know them the top of your head, 2017 running back class. It was loaded, and not just the top guys like Cook and Kamara and Mixon and McCaffrey and Fournette, but like it goes even deeper. There's Marlon Mack and James Conner and Kareem Hunt, and it's a super deep class. But you know, back to David Johnson, you know, and Lev Bell. I see all these guys just getting ran into the ground. There's no upside. You know, next year's free agent class is bananas. Just Google 2021 NFL free agents, and the reference that I use is Over the Cap. You can also use SpoTrack, and it will break it down by position. We covered this on the Dynasty Warzone a couple of weeks ago. It's a loaded class, man. Loaded. So, yeah, I could easily see GM saying, hey, man, let's just run this dude into the ground. We'll get you a rookie next year, or we'll get you a free agent next year. So I do want to go to David Johnson. He is, for me, this is all about ego. This is all about pride. This is all about gamesmanship. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Texans, has been dragged through the mud and beaten about the head and neck by every dynasty analyst, fantasy analyst, NFL analyst, ESPN talking head. And I don't know about you, but do you think Bill O'Brien has an ego?
Fun fact, I actually know Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien went to... Bill O'Brien's wife was my aunt's college roommate. I know for a fact that Bill O'Brien has the biggest ego on this earth. He's going to run David Johnson into the ground. He's going to give him the ball every single chance he gets.
I don't see why not. And just for just forget his ego for a second. Let's just say they signed him in free agency, okay? Last year, Carlos Hyde, they brought in. Carlos Hyde had 1,000 yards rushing, almost 1,100 yards rushing. He was a QB2. And he doesn't catch the ball anywhere near as good as David Johnson. So in a half point or full point PPR league, I don't mind David Johnson at all. And again, same thing. If you don't get off to the hottest of starts, him and Lev Bell are guys that you're just begging to get off to decent starts so that you can unload them. Hey, you know, and then what are you looking for? If I'm looking to move Lev Bell and David Johnson around, say, week 5 or 6, any of the rookie running backs who got off to a slow start. Maybe DeAndre Swift didn't do it. Hey, maybe I got to give DJ in a second to get DeAndre Swift. Do it all day. Maybe I got to give Lev Bell in a second for Cam Akers. You never know. You absolutely never know, because then you would have your two running backs of the future. I love Jonathan Taylor. You know, you don't trade up for a guy, take him in the second round in the NFL in 2020 with the way running backs are valued, to not have a plan. He fits this team. I think the Colts are going to use him the way that the Chargers used Melvin Gordon. I think he'll be more involved in the passing game than people expect. The issue is I don't think he'll be able to do that until around midseason. So I think you're going to have to wait a little while to get a return on that investment. I already talked about James White. I'm always going to be a James White guy because he's always going to give you, in a PPR world, he's going to give you RB2-3 numbers. Then there's the wild card man, Sony. I don't have a ton on Sony outside of gut feel. How are you feeling about Sony?
I go back and forth between both Sony and James White. I actually bought both of them this offseason. I bought James White for a third and a fourth, and I bought Sony for a second and a fourth. And honestly, to me, I think that they're both worth those small dart throws. And especially now with Cam coming in, with this news that we got literally a couple hours ago, I think that brings their value up. So to me, they're guys that I could either run for a couple weeks and see how they turn out to be, and then either flip them the same way that we're hoping Lev Bell or David Johnson gets off to that start, or you kind of hold on to them and just run them into the ground because the Patriots are going to keep cycling through their running backs regardless for at least the rest of this year. So I really don't know which way to go on that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what you think.
It's either going to be Sony or Damian Harris. Mm-hmm. Damian Harris is a third-round pick. I don't know. I really don't know. The only New England running back I really want is James White. Mm-hmm. He's just going to give you, like I said, RB2, RB3 numbers in a PPR world. And for a while, you may be playing two running backs and as many of the wide receivers as you can get in your starting lineup as possible. And then this is the kind of lineup, man, where it's good enough to where if you play the right matchups in a head-to-head type league, you can manufacture wins. You know, you're going to have to dig in and say, okay, Sony's got a great matchup against this defense, and David Johnson's always going to be in the lineup, and I'm not sure about Lev Bell or Sony. This is a team they're going to have to pass again. You're just going to make decisions. It's going to be week in, week out. But I would say with this roster, the way that it's currently constructed, if you're not at least 2-2 or 3-1 after week 4 going into week 5, you're going to have to consider having a bit of a fire sale on these veterans.
Yeah, that's kind of the mindset that I had going into this. It was kind of like, if I start off hot, I'm going to roll with this team. But if I don't start off hot, I can fire sale OBJ, Lev Bell, and David Johnson. And I can look at turning two of those three players into somewhat of an elite running back. Maybe I hope Dalvin Cook holds out a little bit longer, or Mixon holds out a little bit longer, and I can turn OBJ plus Lev Bell into Mixon or something like that. I don't know if that's possible, but I'm in the neighborhood. What do you think?
Yeah, David Johnson's going to continue to build steam. Again, I think you're going to see his ADP rise in redraft. I think everybody at this point's on the same narrative of Bill O'Brien running him into the ground. And the one that you really, out of all these guys, the two guys you need the hottest starts out of are Sony and Lev Bell.
I agree.
And that's when you can look to stack. That's when you can look to say, hey, I'll move OBJ and Lev Bell or OBJ and Sony and try to, you know, get something really good. I also wouldn't blame you. But again, the guys that you have, you're going to have to wait till they can show owners that they're productive again. Because without productivity on the field, you're either going to get lowballed and give them away, or you're just not going to be able to move them. So I would I would continue to scrub the waiver wire with this roster. And, you know, as much as it pains me to say, because LeSean McCoy won me many a championship in his prime, and I will say that the last year that Deion Lewis was a Patriot, he won me a couple of championships that year as well. So it's hard to, you know, what's the old song? It's hard to say goodbye to yesterday, but that's the number one killer that I see in dynasty rosters is, you know, it's nostalgia. You know, you walk down the street, you see people wear old school Nintendo t-shirts or, you know, something. All they can remember, and I was guilty of this, it was so in poker that they call this kind of thing a leak. It's a leak in your game. You know, it's just like the thing that you can't get past. And for me, my biggest leak for a long time was nostalgia and hanging on and that it was always going to happen again. And Josh Gordon was a classic example. I always thought that whatever it was, like it was like 1,614 touchdown season in like 14 games was going to come back. And I clung to it and I clung to it. And it just you can't do that, man. You're just going to nostalgia yourself into the middle forever. And as a dynasty owner, man, that's never where you want to be. You either want to be week in, week out in the top, you know, three or four, thinking you got a shot at the ship, or I want to be in the bottom three or four looking to get those top draft picks. Because let's be honest, if you're not in the top three or four in a one QB league, you're not going to get the running back. You're not going to get Travis Etienne next year. You're not going to get Chuba Hubbard next year. And everybody can talk all the smack they want to. Oh, I'm drafting Rondell Moore. I'm drafting Bateman. I'm drafting Ross or any of these wide receivers. They're all lying and they're all full of crap. There's a reason why the big five running backs were going ahead of CeeDee Lamb and the wide receivers this year. And almost all of my industry leagues, if it was a one QB league, it was some combination of Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Akers, Swift, and Dobbins. Then CeeDee Lamb. And in the Superflex leagues, you could start layering in some quarterbacks in there, the running backs, and then CeeDee Lamb was continuously going around the 107 to 109. It's just how it is. And if you're not competing, you've never cheat. First of all, never do anything dubious or against the rules. That's just no way to be. But with this roster, if you're not doing it, man, there's no reason why Derek Carr can't start a week or two for you. You might have to roll out McKinnon and Deion Lewis on a given week. You might give Tyreek and A-Rob the week off and see what you got in Trent Taylor or John Brown on a given week. Hey, maybe Jeremy Sprinkle can show people something. Always set your lineup. Always, you know, but there's no reason why you have to set your lineup to suit anyone else, unless it's in the bylaws, unless there's some kind of rule that says, you know, that kind of thing's frowned upon. Then don't do that. But that's where I'd be at with this roster, man. I think there's fantasy points on this roster. What this roster lacks is sex appeal.
For sure. It definitely lacks that sex appeal.
I mean, that's a word. You know, in the home flipping, it would be curb appeal or the right neighborhood. You know,
it's not sexy.
It's not, man. It's really not. Don't get me wrong. 2 years ago, this roster, with the exception of Jonathan Taylor and Rager, who were in college, this roster was very sexy. You know, you had Gronk, you know, he was still in New England, and you had Jack Doyle with Andrew Luck, and, you know, I think Jimmy Graham was in Seattle with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson's always been Russell Wilson, and then David Johnson's kind of that Josh Gordon type guy. All we remember is that 400-point fantasy football season that he had in 2016, and we all are convinced he's going to get back to it. But for right now, me and a guy that I work with, we share an office space together, and we always talk about the new hotness and old and busted. Now, your roster is not old and busted, but the perception is that there's a lot of old and busted guys in there, and you're going to have to wait until that changes.
Yep, I'm going to have to wait probably 3 or 4 weeks into the season until Lev Bell or David Johnson can either establish them as running back ones or running back twos, and I can figure out where to go from there. What do you think about stacking a couple players like I had suggested earlier, whether it be Lev Bell and Odell, or either Lev Bell and AJ Green or something like that? I'm not sure if I need to move up into that next tier of running back, or if I should wait and do it with picks.
The only way that I'm really going crazy with moving a bunch of guys right now is if you can get one of the other young hot running backs.
Okay.
I love Joe Mixon, the talent. I think Cincinnati is where talent goes to die.
I agree.
There's no reason why going into year four that I expect a huge uptick in the production of Joe Mixon. I love the back-to-back 1,100-plus yard rushing seasons, but he's never averaged more than, you know, three targets per game as a pro. And last year under head coach Zach Taylor, he had 2.8 targets per game. Giovanni Bernard's always going to be a fly in the ointment. I have no idea what's going on there. So if I'm going to do it, I would much rather gamble. And it's all gambling. Every bit of it's gambling. But I would much rather gamble on the likes of a Miles Sanders. I would much rather gamble on the likes of a Josh Jacobs. Someone like that. Someone asked me, well, you know, Josh Jacobs only had like 2.2 targets per game. That's cool. But I've got a 13-game sample size, and that could change. With Mixon, I've got a 44-game sample size. And that's the difference. So if I was going to do that, as far as wide receivers, man, if I could package OBJ and something and get a DJ Moore, I love it.
I would love that.
One move that I've been recommending to our Patreons is that if you can find a Terry McLaurin owner that doesn't love Terry the way that I love Terry, one guy, one of our Patreons, was able to send OBJ and a third for Terry McLaurin and a first.
I wish I could find that deal. Every league I'm in, the guy who has Terry McLaurin always tells me that Terry McLaurin is never for sale. And I'll offer them something like OBJ for Terry McLaurin and something, and they'll look at me like I'm crazy.
You got to find that nostalgia owner.
I do.
And I was busting this guy's chops in our Patreon. I'm like, pictures or it didn't happen.
I don't believe him. That sounds like a great deal.
And we as a group, we made him post a screenshot of his trade. And I was like, cool. I can firmly get behind that. If you wanted to get really creative, a guy that I like, but I think he's a one-year asset, is Brandon Cooks. We talked about Bill O'Brien and his ego earlier. If I could get Brandon Cooks and like a high pick, like I would even send OBJ in a second for Brandon Cooks in a first.
I would be looking to do something like that. But how do you feel about stacking players on the same team? Like I already have Lev Bell and Crowder, and then I would have David Johnson and Cooks. And I know David Johnson and Cooks will probably be at most 1 to 2 year assets. Same with Lev Bell and Crowder. But all four of those guys could be out of the league in 3 years.
Well, I think more than likely most of those guys will be. Brandon Cooks next year is owed $12 million with a $0 dead cap number.
Exactly.
Odell Beckham Jr., there's no reason why he has to be a Brown next year. He's got 3 years and $45 million left on his contract, and Cleveland owes him zero dead cap money after this season. So this is where predicting the future gets weird. And I covered this in more in depth on our Dynasty Warzone. It was called the 10 players that could be the most impacted by COVID-19, meaning that if the 2021 salary cap were to be constricted due to lost revenue this year, that Odell Beckham Jr., a lot of these guys, man, it would not surprise me. And I said then, and I'll say now, what am I looking to get into? Like from that, I'm looking to get into guys on rookie deals from 2018 through 2020, because they'll still be under rookie contracts. There won't be any – they're cheap labor, especially if they're good. And then I'd be looking to get 2021 picks. But the upper – what I like to call the NFL upper middle class – David Johnson, Lev Bell, Odell Beckham Jr., Adam Thielen is a guy who scares the crap out of me. Those guys, they're going to get pinched from two sides. If the COVID issue squeezes the cap in 2020, that's going to hurt, right? There's a huge free agent class, like I've already mentioned. It's going to really impact dynasty teams going forward. So if you can continue to get younger or guys under good contracts, that's where I'd be looking to invest right now. The upper middle class, that makes me very nervous.
So how do you feel about Allen Robinson? Do you think he falls into that upper middle class? Because he's also due a contract at the end of this year. I don't think Chicago is going to re-sign him. So I'm curious as to what you think about someone like Allen Robinson, who technically falls in that upper middle class, but is going to produce as a wide receiver one, in my opinion, while being drafted as a two or late two or three.
If I can use that as a selling narrative to get Allen Robinson cheap in any league that I'm in, I'm doing it. Because here's the thing. Allen Robinson has produced in spite of bad quarterback play.
That's what I thought, too.
I mean, he's played with Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky, for the love of God. Now, I can't blame Bortles on him, but he chose Chicago and Mitch. You wear those poopy pants, not me. But, you know, if he were to wind up in a spot like with the New York Giants, hey, there's no alpha there. We all like Darius Slayton. I like Darius Slayton, but Golden Tate's not getting any younger.
Sterling Shepard's not good.
An overpaid Sterling Shepard makes like 13 million sticks a year, and I would much rather be funneling some of that money to a guy like Allen Robinson than a guy like Sterling Shepard. But man, there are a lot of teams. You know, if this N'Keal Harry experiment does not work out in New England next year has like $100 million in cap room. So even if the cap is constricted, there's no reason why they can't sign some of these elite free agents. So I'm not worried about that. So the guys I'm definitely hanging on to, Russ, Jonathan Taylor, and that's really it at the running back position. Anyone else makes me a decent offer, they're gone. Tyreek Hill, Allen Robinson, and Rager are not going anywhere, as well as Hockenson. That's my five. That's my fearless five. That's what I call it. I'm not moving one of them. Everyone else is debatable and discussable. And I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't, unless someone knocks your socks off, and they're probably not, I wouldn't be doing anything until first couple of weeks of the season.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Well, awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else I can do for you before we wrap this one up and go home?
Nah, man, I really appreciate your time, Memphis. Thank you so much for taking the time to just take a look at my roster. I really appreciate all the work you've done on the contractor and on Happy Hour. I've been listening a lot to that, and it is one of my new favorite podcasts. So thank you very much, Memphis.
I appreciate that. So this is new and news. We covered this on last week's show, but I will be doing the contractor up until about the week before the season starts. And then we'll continue to do it once I commit to something, as long as Tyler and the gang over at Dynasty Happy Hour will have me. We'll do the contractor. But once we get in season, then it's kind of hard to rebuild a roster. So what I'd like to do is have you, as well as some of the other previous guests, back on. Let's talk about how you're doing, you know, what your team looked like, what moves we're making in season, and how we feel about the future of our team.
Sounds good, man. I would love that.
I think that would be a lot of fun, because the whole genesis of this came from my wife for years forcing me to watch those house flipping shows for years. And that's fine, but I always want to see, man, what does this house look like in 2 years? I want to see that follow-up. Great. You can make anything look decent for a half-hour TV show, but how did they maintain it? What's it look like once they've moved in? So I'll get back with you. We'll have you back on. But, man, until then, on behalf of Ryan, I am Memphis. And remember, the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can rebuild it. We can make it better. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.